Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Going to draw your attention this morning to one verse to begin with. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Now, make a note of that word practice because it's going to come up again. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. It's the second half of this verse that I want to focus on, but I want to comment on the first part of this verse because it might be alarming to some, especially if read in certain translations. And so we need to be careful that we understand the context in which this was written. John here is talking about ongoing, unrepentant, habitual practice of sin. Sin is the enemy to all of us. We should never open the door to sin. We should never give the devil a foothold in our lives. But John is not talking about the occasional slipping or stumbling of a Christian believer in the ongoing spiritual battles and struggles of life. In the previous verse to the one that I began with, John says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices," here's that word again, "he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." What we're talking about here is a pattern of life, a lifestyle. And so, you see, it's the same in both directions. A person is either on a path moving toward God or on a path leading away from God. John, earlier in this epistle, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we say we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, a few verses later in chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you." Look at this. "These things I'm writing to you," John says, "that you may not sin." I'm giving you permission today not to sin. Amen. "But," John says, "if anyone sins," here's the good news. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, having said these things, John then tells us why Jesus appeared. Why was Jesus manifested in this world? He came for the expressed purpose of destroying the works of the devil. You say, "Pastor, I thought he came, the reason he came was to save us from our sins and to seek and to save the lost." Yes. But before that could happen, something else had to happen. Before Jesus could be the Savior, he first of all had to be the destroyer. He had to destroy that which separates us from God, that being sin. And in order to destroy sin, he had to destroy the source and the originator of sin, which is the devil himself. We're told that the devil has sinned from the beginning. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why the devil has come, to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said in John 8:44, he said, the devil has been a murderer from the beginning. There's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. And you see, people sin because of temptation, because of desire, because of the weaknesses of the flesh. But the devil sins as a matter of principle, because he is the principal source and the originator of sin. Lucifer, now known as the devil, was the highest archangel next to God. And many believe that he was there sort of like the worship leader, leading all this worship to God. But somehow, somewhere, pride entered into his heart, and he sinned against God, and he fell, and then he tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned and fell. And here we are today in a spiritual battle, a spiritual struggle between heaven and hell. Look at this in the Old Testament. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be, he said, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. That's just another word for death and hell. You will be brought down to Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit. And then I want to read this one to you as we get into this morning. From the prophet Ezekiel, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you, God said. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. We look at these Old Testament passages, and you know, we can ponder these. We can even wrestle with some of the mystery here. But I want you to look at what Jesus himself said. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Those are symbols of demonic forces. Jesus said to us, the church, his people, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then John tells us at the end of this epistle, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Ain't that the truth today? Pardon my English there. Ain't that the truth? Prior to Jesus coming, we need to understand this. Prior to his coming into the world, the devil held the keys of hell and death. Authority was transferred to him when Adam and Eve chose to sin. But here's the good news today. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. This is why the Word became flesh. Here we are beginning to celebrate Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Why was Jesus manifested? It was for the purpose of reversing the curse, restoring authority, and undoing what the devil and sin had done. I sometimes refer to the defeat of Satan and the defeat of sin as the long defeat. Because it's a present reality, but it's also a process yet to be realized. Or let me just say it simply like this. The battle, the war has already been won, but the battle is still being fought. It's the same with our salvation. We're saved now, but we're still living it. We're still in the midst of this. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling until the final result in heaven. The kingdom of God is in us, but it's yet to come. And so we need to understand this morning. I want to take a few moments today for us to understand the purpose of His appearing. And I want us to see and to understand this in four phases. Phase number one, His birth. The birth of Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We read back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign." Look at this. This is a prophecy. Long before Jesus was born, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." This was already prophesied way back in the very beginning in what we refer to as the first proclamation of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, 15, where God said to the serpent, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The birth and the victory of the Messiah was God's plan all along. It was God's plan. No wonder the devil did everything he possibly could to keep that from happening all through the Old Testament. You see the devil trying to snuff out the seed to keep the Messiah from being born. When you read the Old Testament, don't just read it as history. Understand what was happening spiritually. All the conflicts, all the bloodshed surrounding Israel. It was the devil trying to destroy the seed to keep the Messiah from being born. And then the devil used Herod to kill all of the male infants during the time when Jesus was born. Look at this beautiful verse here, two verses. Galatians 4:4-5. "But when the fullness of time had come," you see, God was in control at just the right moment in history. "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." We were under the condemnation of death, the condemnation of the law. We were helpless to save ourselves. But Jesus came to redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Folks, listen to me today. The birth of Jesus. Praise God. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of the end of the devil and all his works. Amen. I mean, do you ever think of Christmas in these terms? What was the purpose of his appearing? To destroy the works of the devil. Phase number two. The life and ministry of Jesus. One of the best single verse commentaries that I know of is on the life and ministry of Jesus is Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Oh, folks, I want to tell you, there are a lot of people today. It's just not a surface problem that a lot of people are oppressed by the devil. And it says that God was with him. Jesus' public ministry began when he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." From that moment on, Jesus was in direct conflict with the devil and the works of the devil. And to emphasize this point that I'm making, I want to draw your attention to a sequence of events found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4. In Luke 4 verse 1, starting off the chapter, immediately following his baptism, when Jesus started his public ministry, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I'm not going to go into all the details. You know what happened there. Jesus defeated the devil and his temptations. And that's significant for us because the Bible now tells us in James 4:7 that we can resist the devil, and what will happen? The devil will flee. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that can overtake us. There's no temptation that we cannot escape in the name of Jesus and the power and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have the temptation. The next, follow me here. Follow me. The next event in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes into the synagogue. He takes the scroll of Isaiah and he reads a description of his life and ministry from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Are you brokenhearted today? There's one that can heal you. Jesus. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then, in the synagogue, we find this event in Luke chapter 4, the next event. "Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" Now look at this question here. "Did you come to destroy us?" Yes. That's why Jesus came. To destroy the works of the devil. Then the demon said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You see, people may not acknowledge Jesus, who he really is. But I'll tell you something right now. The demons know who he is. Jesus rebuked him saying, "Be quiet." Or I'll paraphrase that. "Shut up and come." "Be quiet and come out of him." And then the demon had thrown him in the mist, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves saying, I love this statement. What a word this is. What a word this is. "For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. This was his purpose. Please get a hold of this today. This was his purpose. His mission. This was his life and ministry. Jesus brought light into the darkness. He brought healing to brokenness. And he brought deliverance to bondage. And then, you know what he did? He passed his life and ministry unto us. Follow me. He passed his life in ministry unto us. He said, I've given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That prophecy that I referred to earlier in Genesis 3:15 about the head and the heel, that's all about Satan being trampled underfoot by Jesus and by us. If we take the authority in the name of Jesus, amen. Phase number three. The death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. I'll get right to the point here. As a final and desperate act to get rid of Jesus, the devil was working through people to kill Jesus, to nail him to the cross. And when they nailed Jesus to the cross, and he said from the cross, it is finished, and then he breathed his last breath, the old devil probably thought, hey, I've done it now. I've defeated him. He's gone now. But folks, I want you to understand something here. The cross did not defeat Jesus. The cross defeated the devil. The nails that pierced Jesus were the nails that destroyed the devil and his work. Jesus stripped away the keys of hell and death from the devil. The stone was rolled away. He was raised from the dead. He ascended in power and glory. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Aren't you glad for that today? His birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension was all for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. And that brings us to the final phase here. Because there's an appearance that's yet to come. Phase four. The return of Jesus. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. The Bible also says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And when he comes back, every eye is going to see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Folks, In his first appearing, Jesus came as the sweet little babe of Bethlehem. He came as the Savior. In the last appearing, he's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to come as a conquering king. He's going to come to judge the nations. He's going to come to bind the devil and all of the works of the devil. And the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. And all who follow him. But here's the good news. For God's people, there will be restoration and healing in heaven. God will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. Some of you sitting right out here, this year, 2023, has brought some heartache, some things that you didn't expect in your life. But I have the... This is the hope we have as believers. One day God is going to wipe away every tear. There's not going to be any more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. I want to give you hope today in the midst of this evil world that we're living in today. I'm going to close this message before we have Holy Communion. I want to close this message today. And, you know, the Lord gave me this message, and And I thought, Lord, I like to tell some humorous things at times and some illustrations. And God just wanted me to give this teaching, this message in His Word. But I want to close with Paul's words. You know, Paul, think of all the things that he went through, but he said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. And then there in 2 Timothy 4:8, he said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And look at this, and not to me only, but also to who? To all who have loved His appearing. For this purpose, the Son of God appeared. Do you love His appearing? Do you long for His appearing? Are you ready for His appearing? You know, the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come back. It could be soon. Who knows? We don't know, but we have to be ready. And I'm asking you, Tay, are you ready? Are you born again? Are your sins under the blood? Are you up to date with God? That's some good questions to ask as we enter into this time of Holy Communion. Even where you're sitting, you could just say, Lord, help me. Forgive me. Empower me. He'll do it. If you're not saved, ask Him in. That's all. He's a prayer away. You can't get good enough for God. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. You can't. A lot of times people think, if I could just get my act together and get these problems, then I can get on track with God. No, you come to Him as you are. And He does the work. He'll help you each step of the way.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.